Moncrief on News Talk.
It's time for So You Think You're an Adult, Barbara Scully and new glasses, Declan Buckley.
He looks very sexy.
He does.
Stop, Barbie.
They're
is it going to be?
No, they are
don't.
Lovely. Put them
I don't
on
wear
again.
Glasses.
I want to gaze on you with your new glasses on.
Okay, please don't talk about
them,
Barbara.
Do you see the way, Sean, they're slightly tinted? There's a little bit of a tint.
Oh, is there a bit of a tint?
Yeah, a little bit of a
tint. So they're making them look slightly mysterious.
Is that a tint, though, or is that, you know, the way they kind of...
It's kind of the reflection of the outside world. I'm trying to not let the negativity of the world we live in come in through my
eyeballs. Yeah. That's a wise choice.
And it's working so far.
Are they those ones that used to be out in the 80s that get darker when you go out in the sun?
No, that's just my personality.
Okay.
That's just my personality.
Okay, that comes from his eyes.
Yes,
that darkens
the
glass.
Internal, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, gosh. They're very nice. Well,
they
how come you...
But they're not very focal, so I'm putting on my other glasses
reading.
I can read the notes I've prepared in order to
appear.
Oh,
right, so you need both sorts of glasses.
I need both, yeah.
Okay.
I decided to start wearing I normally have very focal glasses, but because I'm trying to minimise the amount of time I go onto my phone, I'm trying to make it more difficult for myself to pick up my phone and open up an app.
Oh, I see.
So I'm making it so
wouldn't
that I'm
it have been cheaper just to put your phone in your pocket?
No. It would be cheaper if I had willpower, but sadly, no, I don't.
Okay, all right. Well, so now you know that Declan has no willpower whatsoever. Yeah. Take that into it. when you listen to his advice.
Yeah.
I've been with my boyfriend for nearly a year and I'm really happy. The thing is that I have never been to his place or met any of his friends or family. I live more centrally than he does, so he's always travelled for our dates and stays at mine. We met online and had a spark from the get-go. My friends have called me out on it, saying that it's weird that I don't know anything about his life. I don't think that's really true. But it probably is a bit strange that I haven't seen his apartment or anything. All I care about is spending time together. And because he works away, when he's back in town, I love that he stays with me instead of travelling the 2-hour drive home. My best friend trying to insinuate that he might be married or something, saying that I need to ask more questions. She says she's seen his profile on a dating app. But when I asked him about it, he realised he'd forgotten to delete his account and did it there and then to put my mind at rest. I think people are just jealous, as we have an amazing relationship. I love how attentive he is. I just wish we could spend more time together. He even had to work Valentine's weekend, which was really disappointing. But I know that he loves me. I think people are just jealous, and I'm upset that they can't see I'm so happy after being on my own for so many years. Who's going to give her the bad news?
Yeah.
I'm taking off my rose-tinted glasses for this one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like red flags all over the shop in this one. And the two obvious ones, there's loads of red flags, but I think the two most obvious ones is that they've been together for, she says, nearly a year and she's never seen where he lives.
Mm.
Like, that's really bizarre and weird and odd. And I mean, it's also something even from her perspective that, you know, if you were in a relationship with somebody, seeing where they live and how they live gives you another insight into somebody's personality,
yeah.
and what they're all about and what they're all like. So whatever about the fact that he hasn't invited her is odd. Like, it's very odd that she's not going, I actually would like to see where he lives. And I, you know, that's part of the whole deal here, as far as I'm concerned. And especially if he lives 2 hours away, you'd imagine that he would have then said, sure, we'll stay the night in Nares. Like, why don't you come up here and we'll stay the night here, or we'll do something locally or whatever. So that's a big red flag. And the second one is that she hasn't met any of his friends.
Mm.
And obviously, if you're in a relationship and it's been going for nearly a year, most people then want your friends to meet this new person in your life who potentially is going to be a significant person in your life. So the fact, again, that he hasn't done that is weird. It's not clear from the letter whether he's met her friends or whether her friends are just acting on the hearsay they hear from her. Do you know what I mean?
Mm, yeah.
But the whole thing stinks like a barrel of fish.
Yes, it does.
And he could be married. He, the fact he had to work Valentine's weekend. My reaction when I finished this was kind of, I really would like to shake her and say, wake up.
I did feel kind of sorry for her because she did mention in the end about having been on by herself for such a long time and she really wants to believe it's true.
Yeah.
And
we're breaking her heart right now.
But that's why her friends are breaking her heart as well, because they care about her. And the sooner she wakes up and, as I say, smells all the dead fish, the better off she'll be. You know, the longer she lets it go, the worse it's going to be.
And I think sometimes in the face of other people's critiques, we can kind of dig our heels in and write it out and go, I'm not going to listen to what you have to say because that's just your opinion.
Yeah.
And in order to kind of even create this fantasy that, you know, to make my own view, worldview real, what I'll do is I'll attribute all kinds of motivations to your friends and all that. So it's kind of hard to cut through that because you'll always find a way to convince yourself that somebody else doesn't have your best interests at heart if their suggestion goes against what you kind of really want to believe. So I think the real question for me, though, is for her to ask herself the questions. Like, does she want to see where he lives? Does she have any recollection of even bringing it up? And what way did that conversation go? Has there been situations where she feels that he's kind of happy to isolate her away, potentially from an entirely different existence? Is there anything else that he's doing that makes her feel a little bit suspicious? Because if she has no suspicions whatsoever, either there's nothing to worry about, or she's the perfect target for somebody who wants to manipulate. And that's why her friends are probably feeling a bit thing. So going forward, the reality of it is that she doesn't have to listen to her friends, but she does have to listen to herself. And she has to listen. Sorry, I nearly swallowed my own words there. She has to try to wonder to herself whether or not she's actually creating this kind of like false version of the world in order to just keep going on with this fantasy.
That's what I think she is doing. I mean, I as you say, Sean, there's a vulnerability there because she mentioned she'd been on her own for a long time. That maybe she knows that what the friends are saying is potentially problematic, but maybe in her own head she's kind of going, I don't want to go there. I don't really want to know. Or I will accept that because this is better than being on my own, even if I'm not his number one
and
somebody else.
While that might seem like a logical, not even like that might seem like a potential thing to do.
Yeah.
It isn't going to stay in that space because if somebody is coming into your life and they are manipulating you or if they're lying to you or they're not giving all of themselves to you in a way that is good for you, that's not going to get better. It's going to get worse because it's just not healthy.
No.
So I think, you know, if she doesn't want to accept what her friends are saying, what she can try to do is disprove it for herself. That she can say, right, in the short term, I'm going to suggest we go down to see where this guy lives.
Yeah.
And she could even probably just Google him. A bit of intensive Googling, you'd find out probably all you need to know, you know.
She probably doesn't even have his air code.
We're all trying to stay offline, for God's sake. Yeah. You know, don't be sending people on there.
Yeah, tell her to put her Googling glasses on and have a look. One texter says he's definitely married. I've been there, got the T-shirt. Oh, so she'll get a T-shirt out.
Wow.
Anyway, so that. Oh shit, he was married.
Yeah.
We should start a business sell them.
Merch. That's a good idea.
I've worked in the same job at my company for nearly 6 years, and in that time I've been overlooked for promotion 3 times. The first time a promotion came up, I was only a year in, so I figured it wouldn't be me, and one of my colleagues got it, so I understood. The second time was more disappointing. I have 20 years experience in the field, so I thought I was in with a good shout. But they brought in someone external, so I reconciled with that. But this week I found out that I didn't get a new role that they'd just created to lead our department, and I'm devastated. The internal candidate they gave it to is someone who is significantly younger than I am and who started in the organisation after me. I've been doing long hours, putting in extra work to make sure I was in a strong position going into the interview, so I feel completely blindsided by this. I feel I have no choice now but to quit my job and look for a new one. We've 2 teenage kids with the eldest due to go to college next year, so I don't want to be out of a job as we need the money and I'm the only one earning, but I feel utterly miserable after getting this news.
This is a difficult one because on one level, it's kind of like the last one. I want to shake this person because they seem to be living in a world where they want to believe that they have the whole thing sussed and they know how it works. And yet somehow it's not delivering what they're expecting.
That's harsh.
No, but is it harsh?
Yeah.
Why?
You're upset.
Yeah, they're upset.
I know they are, but there's a bang of I deserve the job off this.
Exactly. That's where I'm going with this. Is that because when you're in the workplace, because we spend so much time there, we kind of develop a mythology around it that I'm really important here because I spend so much time here.
I've been here
but
so
actually,
long.
That's not necessarily true.
Yeah, true.
And also when it comes to career progression, a lot of people believe that the organization, whether it's the private sector the public sector, or a private business, that your career is something that is going to be given to you, that there's a kind of a set fair route through life that's going to be, you know, you're on a ladder and it's all just going to happen without you even needing to put your foot to the pedal or to do any work.
Mm.
But in fact, most people who progress in life know that getting a promotion is really hard. And pushing your way through the drudgery of corporate life is, it requires, you know, having your eye on the ball and sometimes working a system. And sometimes if you find yourself not making the progression and then staying in an organization, you're subliminally telling the organization that you're content mm-hmm. with the way in which the organization has made its choices.
Mm.
People who... You know, it reminds me of what my English teacher used to tell us about how to write an essay. You know, you tell them what you're going to say, then you say it, and then you tell them what you said. And with work, it has to be a similar thing.
Yes.
You have to kind of go, I'm going to do this today or this year or this month, and then do it, and then tell them all. And you have to keep telling people at work what you've done, because if you're not trumpeting your own successes and your own contributions, then the organization is happy to go along with you playing the kind of thankless role that you're, you know, seemingly happy to accept. If you want a promotion, you have to negotiate that promotion. You have to make that promotion. You need to say to your boss, I am going for a promotion. Let's talk about how I can make that happen. Then I am going to do the things that we talked about, whether that's in your annual review meeting or whether it's in a meeting you organize with your boss to say, this is where I want to go. Do all the things. And then after doing all the things, if you still don't get the thing you're asking for, you have the opportunity to say, well, why do I not have this? You're putting it into the realms of well, there is a payback that you kind of implied that I would get. And then the alternative is, unfortunately, that you might make a promotion leap faster by changing organizations. Mm. Most people who have careers where they jump up through, you know, the hierarchies do it by swapping organizations. Some people swap to an organization and they even come back again at a higher level only because they acquired skills that they didn't have, they couldn't get in the organization the way things were.
Mm.
Is it you? Is it the organization? I don't know. But if it is, you know, you need to be talking to people in work saying, do I have the skills? Am I acquiring on an ongoing basis skills that make me relevant to the organization? And you need to be telling them that you're relevant to the organization.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to make it.
You've actually ended up in exactly the place that I was going, except I started it a bit nicer than you did. Because I do think that this person is genuinely kind of devastated and disappointed and doesn't understand why they keep getting overlooked for promotions. But I think what you said then is more or less what I was saying is that they
need because I'm talking about the view of the world. I'm saying that people kind of think that this is a kind of it's a fair world and if you work
it
really hard,
happens.
You'll progress.
Yeah.
Whereas in fact, it's not really the case. And you have to sometimes really push at
it
to make
it
happen.
For it.
Ambition and force it.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, is that they need to find out why they're being overlooked for promotion. And I suggested the same as you, like having a word, either if they have a yearly review or having a word with their boss or whatever about, you know, is there something I'm missing? Is there something I'm not doing that I should be doing? And as you say, signalling the fact that you want to get on, because they said they're in the company for 6 years. And depending on how they present themselves in the workplace, as you said, it may be that the bosses or the powers that be who make these decisions don't think that you're interested in actual promotion or moving forward. They might think you're quite happy where you are and you're functioning grand where you are. And so they will leave you there. I remember my mother. Now, again, this is back in the dawn of prehistory when I was starting to work. And when we left school, most of us didn't go to college. We all, and if you were a girl, you went to commercial college, right, to learn how to type.
Yes,
and
course.
How to do shorthand.
Yeah.
And I always remember my mother telling me, I never got that at all. But I always remember my mother telling me, make sure you don't become too good at typing. Because she said, you get too good at typing, you get stuck in what was the typing pool and you'll never get out of it.
That's good advice,
actually.
She said,
yeah, good typists are like hard to come by. But I think it's the same thing here. You know, if somebody is just motoring along, being reasonably productive, but not showing any of the signals that they want to move on. That's possibly why they're getting overlooked. So,
and you can say to them, oh, look, I'm giving the signals by working all these extra hours. But unless you say, I'm working all these extra hours because I want to show you I'm hungry for advancement, they might just be thinking that you need to do all those extra hours in order to do your job.
Here's another piece of great advice I got once from a boss at work who said to me, a CEO of a company I worked in, and I remember him saying to me one night, I was working a little bit late and we left the office together, and he said, I know if I work late, he said, that there's the same few people who are working late every single evening. And he says, that doesn't signal anything to me other than they're inefficient. Yeah. And they should have either spoken to me to say I have too much and I can't get it done, or else they're just inefficient.
Okay.
So, there's all those nuances to take in. But I do think that the last thing what they said is, I don't feel I have a choice, and about money and, kids and college and all. They do have a choice. You always have a choice. This is totally in your own control as to whether you stay or move. And you don't leave a job until you have another job. So it shouldn't affect your ability to pay your bills. And as you say, if having spoken to people, you determine that there isn't a future for you in this company, well, then you do start to look around and you do start to move. 6 years is a reasonably long time, I think, to be in a company.
Yeah, it doesn't imply it. Well, also, she just mightn't be good enough to be promoted in this job. Is that. Or more to the point, there might be a view in that particular company that she just doesn't have it.
Or he.
I don't know why I thought it was a woman for some reason.
Because she's been overlooked for promotion. Probably. That's why.
That might be a factor.
I was going to start with that. I was going to ask you whether you thought it was a woman or a man, because I felt the same thing, that it was a woman.
And sometimes, a proportion of how you're viewed by the management isn't to do with the work you do. It's just the way you deport yourself. Mm. And are you somebody who's a kind of leader and all those kind of intangible things?
Yeah. Out on the golf course with the lads after work?
That's true.
Or are you going out to make the dinner?
But it is also posturing. It's also about posturing. And that's why I refer to telling them. Because if you're not telling people what you've done and telling people the contribution that you've made to the organisation and showing them the skills and abilities that you have, they're not going to think they're all busy. You need to actually hand it to them.
That's true.
Force it into their faces.
Mm. Yeah. Well, good luck with that, with your new job. I'm 28. I've just moved home from Australia after 2 years. I absolutely love my life in Sydney. Was gutted to leave, but couldn't stay any longer with my visa. I came home a few months ago, and at first I was happy enough to be home. It dawned on me over the last couple of weekends that most of the lads I would have been friends with have left. A lot of my mates are in Canada, Australia or London. I don't have anyone left to hang out with. I was lucky to get a good job here after coming back, and my dad isn't well, so I don't want to move again so soon. But I'm pretty bored, if I'm honest. I work from home most days, I go to the gym, and I can't afford to move out as I blew through my savings in Sydney. How is a guy in my situation supposed to make friends? I feel there's loads of stuff set up for girls to meet, but where does a 28-year-old guy go to find a group of mates?
It's right there in front of you.
Stop. No, I think this letter is really important, because I think this letter shines a light on something that obviously affects me hugely. But it's something we're not talking about anymore. And that is the literally thousands and thousands of young Irish men and women who've left this country and are continuing to leave this country to experience independence. Mm. Like, my eldest daughter left in 2011. And that was the recession. There were no jobs. There was nothing going on. And that was the motivation to leave. We're now living in a country. I'm on a bit of a soapbox. I'll stop.
Yeah,
in a second.
I know she's off. Yeah. You can put your glasses on now.
I'm going to go for it. Yeah.
Your rose tinted glasses over there.
That makes my eyes look like they're open when they're really closed.
I'll wake you up when I'm finished. Yeah. No, but we're living now in a country that is wealthy, where we have full employment. And yet, our young people are leaving literally in their thousands because they cannot experience independence here. And don't get me started putting a shed in your back garden. I mean, so I think that he's shining a light on something that is really important. My second daughter went to Australia in October and is now settled for the moment in Melbourne. I'm gobsmacked by the number of people she knows out there who was in school with her, were in local schools, and they're all meeting up. He's right. They are all in Australia or Canada or wherever it is they're going. And, we should hang our heads in shame about that, because it is awful. So he's got a problem that he's now home and all his mates are still out experiencing independence in Australia. I not entirely sure how to answer this problem that he has, which is where does he meet friends other than say what we always say. You're not going to meet them sitting in your own house or perhaps even in the gym. You need to get out. You need to start doing things. You need to be ready to do things on your own, attend events, go to things on your own and meet people. I did a small Google and there is something which I'd never heard of before called Meetup, which seems to run events and things like that. And is specifically aimed not just at women, it's aimed at both. Where, you know, be it running or walking or going to, what was the other thing I saw? Oh, a boards games night or whatever. You know, you need to get out and about. There's no magic formula as to how to meet like-minded blokes for you to hang out with. But the other thing I'll say is, you know, unless they get sponsored, your mates will start probably coming back in the next year or two as well. So this isn't...
There's always that possibility.
There's always that possibility, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like... So, you know, the reason why I chuckled at the beginning is because, you know, he's looking for friends. And what does he want to do? Obviously, he has an idea of who he is and what is an appropriate activity for him. Like, is it sport? Is there a way in which he can be doing something that he likes?
Join the Gat Club.
Yeah. So also, you know, you can also hang out with women as well. You know, women can be friends with men. And if there's loads of things that they're doing, like, why, you know, what's the... You know, if he's aware of places where the women are hanging out, like, and they're doing
I think
stuff.
What he's referring to is, and again, I can't remember because I remember interviewing a woman before about this who set up. There are women tend to be more proactive about setting up
yes,
groups.
Yeah.
And there's a safety aspect so that they're kind of just this is girls only or women only kind of thing, because, you know, it feels like a safer space.
Right.
So I think maybe he's referring to that.
And okay, so there's a lot of things like that. But there's no other social activities for people.
For men.
And there was no substance in this letter which said, I would like to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah,
all that seems to be is that women seem to be out there finding loads of things to do and he can't. So I'm not saying that there's not a problem. What I'm saying is that there must be something that he's actually interested in.
Yeah.
Because you can substitute the interest for the relationship. You know what I mean? Finding friends around a similar interest is where you have to go.
Yeah, so, yeah, a few people are texting saying running clubs, apparently.
Yeah,
they're the new thing.
Yeah.
Hiking, but I mean, there's loads of things. But that's, my point is that he needs to work out what it is he's interested in doing.
Or the other
thing. He'll find like-minded people.
Again, as you say, if you're not somebody who's into sport or running or whatever like that, and he rules out all of those, the other thing seriously is volunteering. You know, like volunteering, like animals in an animal shelter or, you know, something that is something that would resonate with you. You don't, you know, it might be working in a charity shop, but it might be, as I say, an animal sanctuary or something like that, where you will meet like-minded other people. And you get a dog. I said this before in this talk. Dogs are a great way of meeting people.
Yeah.
Everybody talks to you when you have a dog.
That's true.
Yeah.
Somebody else suggests he might join his local men's shed, but like he's only
That's
28.
A bit older. Yeah, no, that'd be older.
Does he work alone? Surely there's lads his own age and his job.
That's true.
A few people also suggest wondering is he working from home?
I think did he say he was?
I mean, that makes like that's a natural side effect of work, isn't it? Is that you're with people and if you're working from home.
He says he works from home most days. That's a disaster for you.
Go into the office. Yeah,
Be working from home.
If you can.
I think most companies want people to go back in the office. Office now anyway.
I don't want
people working from home anymore.
Working from home. My wife has always had a high sex drive. It was one of my favourite things about her when we met, and sex plays a big part in our relationship. Other friends would give out that they never had sex after a couple of years together, whereas we were the opposite. We'd a really adventurous sex life and love trying new things. I've been pretty stressed with work and there's several times recently where I haven't been able to perform. It's gotten so bad that it has now been a couple of months since we had sex. I know she's frustrated and she suggested I go to a doctor or get some pills or something. I just want to be left alone. I know there's nothing physically going on as there's never an issue when I watch porn. How do I get her to drop it? Oh, he has time for porn!
God, there's a terrible lack of sympathy in this studio today. Terrible lack of empathy. Put your empathetic head on now.
I do. I have it on. And I think, look, he's already worked out that it's not a physical, mechanical thing that's going on with them. So it's psychological. Obviously, the work stress that he's referring to has affected him in some way. Look, there's loads of things. Naturally, as men get older, their libido and their kind of thing slows down. That's fine. And I'm sure he's aware about that. But what a lot of people don't recognise is that if the other parts of somebody's life is a bit unsettled, then your ability to be connected with somebody and you know, your sex life and all that kind of stuff can be really impacted. So I was just, rather than going to the doctor to talk about, Viagra. You know, getting your Viagra or something like that, to go to the doctor to maybe get somebody to talk to work out what the issues are that are bothering him and whether or not he feels able to talk about those things. And then the other stuff comes back if that stuff is sorted.
I totally agree. And the line that jumped out for me from this letter is that I just want to be left alone. In other words, there's a bit of wallowing in his stress and misery. And like, stress is a really destructive thing. If we're under stress,
it cannibalizes everything else. It kind of eats into everything
else. It'll affect you physically as well, you know, at the end of the day. So his problem isn't his sex drive. His problem is his stress level. And as you say, I would absolutely say he needs to go and find somebody to talk to and maybe go to the GP and get a referral or look up a good counselling service and get some talk therapy and work out why he is stressed. Once he deals with that, the other stuff should fall back into place. As you say, he doesn't have a mechanical problem. But I would imagine his wife possibly is a bit worried about him as well, which is why she's saying to him to go to the doctor. I wouldn't say it's just because she wants to have more regular sex.
There's an interesting thing about sex is that it performs a kind of there's a functional side to it. Yeah. And then there's the emotional kind of connection side. And sometimes people who are very, you know, high sex drive, they're focusing on one aspect of it.
Yeah.
Whereas other people, you know, maybe more about the kind of, I just want to be cuddled and stuff like that. So finding a space where you're actually getting all of your needs met sometimes require exploring them like rationally, kind of going, talking through with somebody, what is happening in my life and what do I need?
But don't live with stress for a long period. It's not good. It really isn't good.
So he needs to go to a Mickey whisperer.
A
Mickey whisperer.
A Mickey whisperer. I have no answer for that.
No, okay, all right. Yeah.
I don't
Declan knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, I didn't know what you were talking about.
Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.